So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
The fallout from Storm Éowyn continues today as almost 250,000 homes and businesses are still without power. Many workers have also been impacted by the closure of businesses and have been left wondering what pay they're entitled to. Seamus Butler is the owner of Butler Manufacturing Services in Longford. He's on the line. Seamus, how are you?
I'm fine, Anna, except we had to close this morning because we had no power. 25 employees, we had to send them home, and we haven't got a definitive answer when we will have power. So it's a difficult situation, and we're only two and a half kilometres from Longford town, and there's people and big areas just outside Longford town, a kilometre or even less, that have no water or power still.
So you had how many staff turn up today, Seamus?
Well, there was 25 in all. We got messages to some of them before they travelled. The rest of them turned up and we sought to get a generator, and it's like sourcing hen's teeth at the moment. The earliest we could get one might be Thursday. And we're just closed. We cannot operate.
And what does that mean for the staff and the business, Seamus?
Well, it's difficult. We have export orders at the moment and we have to meet deadlines on those, and it'll be playing catch up. We're just hoping against hope, I think, that we will have power tomorrow. We don't know what time, and it's difficult for any business. And, you know, they are affected. Longford got a real battering. The Longford town FC across the road from our facility had a huge wall collapse there. And, you know, the local authority and wearing my hat is the Cathaoirleac of Longford Municipal District are playing a blinder. And they have actually offered now to the ESB their outdoor crew to help with cutting of trees, because trees are a big problem with overhead power lines. And they've offered that. And we have a meeting of the County Longford Coordination Group, which is for emergencies, like we had one in COVID and we had one for the Ukrainian refugees. We've also having the first meeting tomorrow at 11 a.m. because we think there's going to be a lot of people without water and without power for up to a week. Some people are talking about the 6th of February maybe when they get power. So, I mean, that's an awful long time. That's far worse than COVID ever was. And we really have to start looking at building resilience to our utilities in the future. And it's incredible that a utility like Uisge Éireann wouldn't have permanent standby generators on critical infrastructure like water treatment plants and pumping stations.
So they're trying to source them, but it's too late. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, they had some, but they have to move them around. But any critical infrastructure, and I'm involved in the water industry all my working life, we have standby generators for critical things like pumping stations and treatment plants. And Uisge Éireann, say the Loch Forbes water treatment plant outside Longford on the takes water out of the Shannon at Loch Forbes. That hadn't got a permanent standby generator just clicking if the power went down. And it has taken 2 days for them to get a generator in place. And then because the reservoirs are depleted because of that downtime, it takes another day and a half for the water to reach the consumers. So I mean, the answers are going to have to come from these people. And we're going to have to, this is probably not a one-off. It's once in my lifetime, I think. But I think we can safely say there's going to be a lot more storms and a lot more. We have to make our infrastructure much more resilient and have amelioration there ready to go.
And we need to be ready for it. Yeah, the ESB have said the vast majority of those affected will have supply restored by Friday. However, after this, we expect that the remaining approximately 100,000 customers will progressively have their supply restored over the course of the following week. Now, I'm sure those words are frightening to you, Seamus, who's had to stand down staff today, which I assume is that's what you've done, is it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We had no alternative. You know, I mean, everything was down, you know, our servers and all that. Luckily, we have access to the cloud for working from home, for emails and things like that. But that's not much good when you can't even get people. Let's say a lot of our sewage treatment plants that we manufacture and are in place around the country are in trouble. But they can't send out signals because they've no power, you know.
Mm-hmm, of course.
It's a worrying time for anybody in this. And we really want to start, I think, they want to have a top-level government committee on building resilience in infrastructure to deal with climate change.
Yeah, it's not just sorting this week. It's the long-term plan, isn't it? Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick is with me on the line. You're in Robertstown, Dara.
Good afternoon, Anna. How are
Hiya.
You today?
How's it going?
I reside in Robertstown, a small little village in the rural hinterland of northwest Kildare.
Okay.
Lots of issues with power around the area. The village of Robertstown itself is completely in darkness. And I was speaking to a resident from the village who got a text message this morning to state that the power might be restored until the 1st of February. And that to me is just not good enough in this day and age. Now, we also have a big issue around the shops in the village. One of the convenience shops has opened and the other convenience shop hasn't opened due to the power outage. And in the other convenience shop is the local post office. So therefore, the post office is closed and the convenience shop. And people are coming under pressure now about social welfare payments and payments from Unpost. And I'm just trying to seek clarity from Unpost as to what happens in that scenario. And I'm hoping to have clarity later on today.
You see, these are things that we might not have considered first off. You know, we think of the, you know, basic supplies, the heat, the water, the Wi-Fi. But this is another element, isn't it? How many people are in Robertstown?
I suppose there's 1,000 people in Robertstown, in the community of Robertstown. And then you have all the hinterland and all of the people coming in from rural into the village to do their daily chores, to go into their post office, to post their letters. That service has failed them now. And a lot of other issues around the area. Like, in fairness, Northwest Kildare is a black spot, really, with power outages. Robertstown is in complete darkness. Lullymore to Rathangan is also in darkness. Derrymullen, Claharinka, which is up well up in the Northwest Kildare, that Claharinka area is completely in darkness, no power. And I am aware that the local GA club in Claharinka is going to open their facility this evening for local people just to come, as we've seen on the television and the news over the last couple of days, to come, charge their phones, make their cup of teas, maybe watch a bit of TV, and then go back into the darkness of their houses.
And when you say it's in darkness, this includes the schools, the businesses, everywhere?
Claharinka hinterland is all in darkness. I can't clarify that the Claharinka school, I don't know whether that's opened or closed, but I do know in Robertstown that the National School is open. The National School in Robertstown is on the edge of the village, and they actually have power, and the village itself hasn't power. Look, there's loads of scenarios. A funny one for you, Irish Water have put tankers into local communities when the water was down, and on the back of the tanker is a boil notice to boil the water before they use it. How can the locals boil the water
if they don't have electricity?
To boil the kettle. Like, there's another scenario. It sounds simple, but it's funny that this type of this scenario comes up. There's lots of other anomalies that I could talk about today. I personally feel, from a local representative on the ground in the local community, that the ESB network, ESB, need to inform people more fairly. They're very hard to contact for me as a local representative. We can't make any contact. And all we're dealing with is text messages and the internet. And in this environment and in these times of crisis, that is not good enough. ESB should be on the ground dealing with local communities in this time of crisis.
Yeah, this communication is really important right now, because people are worried and they're concerned, and it's completely understandable. And respect to the teams who are out there repairing lines in the harshest of conditions over the weekend. I mean, some of those treacherous conditions, and I know this is what these lads are trained for, but still, it's quite incredible what they had to do and what they achieved. So absolutely respect to them. But I hear you on the communications point.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous. And I am aware, I have had a serious outage in my my power went at 5:49 on Friday morning. And in fairness to the ESB staff, I seen an ESB van driving by up on the local road at about 2 o'clock that day. I followed the van. He said he'd found the source of the supply that was down. He told me that he wasn't able to bring back up my power supply until Saturday, and we got it back Saturday, but he was able to bring back up at our houses by a touch of a switch. He, an excellent worker out in the most dangerous of circumstances, doing his job. But he was able to communicate on the ground locally. But unfortunately, at a higher level, ESB need to improve their communications and need to liaise with all the people, with Kildare County Council, with other people, with Irish Water, to ensure that the people are well informed of this circumstance.
Yeah, I think Dara, people just need a realistic time frame, and businesses
correct
as well, in terms of staffing and all that kind of stuff. There's just so much, you know, knock-on effects, I suppose. Caroline is on the line in Galway. Caroline, how have you been impacted there, and where are you?
Well, right at the moment, Anna, I'm standing in my kitchen with my puffer coat on, a scarf around my neck, and I have some tea lights on the counter in a bowl to warm my hands.
Oh, my goodness.
So it has been absolutely and utterly miserable. Now, we lost our power like everybody else in the early hours of Friday, and no internet, no phone connection, absolutely nothing. No means, we don't have any gas. So we didn't have any little camper stove or gas heater. By the time we got around to looking for one, they'd all sold out. We looked at the possibility of getting a little generator. The same with that, no generators to be found. So on Sunday morning, we just felt we can't stay in the house any longer. I could feel my core body temperature had gone down. And so we just decided to go to a hotel for the night. Such was the state of the
And that was Galway City that you went to, was it?
Yes, Galway City. So luckily enough, the hotels are operational and businesses are going along as normal in the city. But in the suburbs and the smaller towns either side of the city, there seems to be just a complete blackout in all of those little places.
And it's mad, because it's I know we're laughing and joking about you and your puffer coat, but I'm thinking of elderly people. It's frightening.
Yeah,
you know, parents
absolutely.
With young children. You know,
absolutely.
There's so many, and businesses, of course, who are worried about the downtime here and the next steps in terms of keeping a business afloat.
Of course,
go to do the most basic things, Caroline, and you can't do them.
You can't do them. I mean, a friend of mine yesterday, we got out of the house and we finally had some phone connection, and she had said that they had just gone into her husband's workplace, her and her two children, to have a shower and just to get some hot food. They made porridge in there with a microwave and they just had a little bit of breakfast. But, you know, they have had no power, no internet, and no water, which was, that's really debilitating. So at least we've had the water, which hasn't been too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday morning, or actually Friday morning, I managed to make some scrambled eggs with tea lights on a bowl. And actually it's on TikTok and it's gone quite viral, so it's at thefashionstudio.ie. You will see my video, and actually surprisingly it worked out very well, and it was hot food and we were so grateful for that.
Created so with tea lights. Very elegant and romantic altogether, Caroline. I'll seek that out after the show.
Yeah, you do. Please do. Yeah, it actually worked out very well. And, you know, I might have to improvise again, because we just got a text message to say that our power will not be restored until the 5th of February.
The 5th?
So the 5th, which is next Wednesday.
Okay, that's the latest date I think we've heard so far.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So
okay. James McCabe is with me. James, you are Unite's regional officer. So Unite represent construction workers. How have they been affected?
Thanks, Anna. Unite represent workers in 19 sectors across the economy. But myself, I represent the construction workers. So on Thursday, a lot of our members received communication that they'd either had a choice of an unpaid day on Friday or to choose or to take an annual leave day with less than 24 hours notice, obviously.
Okay.
So we're likely to see some members not get paid for that day this week when in their paychecks this coming Thursday, Friday. Now, I should say we do have companies who are who we've been engaging with and who engage with our members on the ground straight away on Thursday, and they are being paid.
Okay.
So we do have a mix of good and bad news, I suppose, on that front.
Right. Okay. So some construction employers instructed workers to take an unpaid day's leave when the sites were closed on Friday because of the storm. By demanding that workers take a day's leave when sites closed during one of the worst storms in living memory, highly profitable employers. So these are you suggesting these are employers who can well afford to absorb this cost?
Absolutely. The companies that we deal with are the billion euro turnovers. Some of them are high hundred millions. They're well capable of absorbing this cost. But in any event, companies are best placed to absorb the cost of this extreme weather events than workers are, because workers have a fixed wage per day or per week or whatever the case may be.
And if they're not on the site, they're not getting paid. Is that the general gist?
Well, that's what the general gist has been. Now, we have been engaging again this morning, and more companies have come to our way of thinking. And if others don't, then we will pursue for illegal deductions of wages to the WRC if necessary.
Well, hopefully it won't get to that, James. John is on the line in Clare. John, communication good enough throughout this?
No, I don't think so. I have to say I'm very frustrated with what I'm seeing, I suppose, on a general level. We have a very poor network, it would appear, from an electrical distribution perspective. And I feel that there needs to be a better strategy put in place to mitigate against this going forward, because we've had storms through the years. We've had repeated power outages, if you like, at various different points in various different areas of the country. And the management and executives of ESB and the power companies in particular need to take a long, hard look at themselves vis-a-vis the prices that they're charging to people and the super profits that they're making, because it's radio silence as to the lessons that they're learning on this. And the steps that they propose to take going forward to mitigate against a recurrence of this going forward. I mean, we had the weather forecasters and the National Coordination Group on behalf of government coming out and advising people in the lead up to Friday. But what plans were actually put in place at a community level to support people deal with the fallout? All of this now seems to only be coming to the fore 4 days on. Where's the national tree cutting program, which will go against a lot of people's viewpoints, but where's the tree cutting program to minimise a recurrence of these things going forward? Where's the joined up thinking?
Yeah.
We had somebody this morning text in to the Packenny program who said that they had to relocate, or their family had to relocate due to small children. Now, I'm aware that there's Airbnbs, not specifically for this reason, but Airbnbs that charge 300 and 400 euros a night.
Yeah, there's stories that people are, you know, certain Airbnb owners are putting up their prices, obviously, supply and demand, etc. Someone says here, the government needs to call a national emergency over the fallout of the storm, because that's exactly what it is. Loads of texters in Galway, no power and no water here in East County Galway. Power estimated to be back by February 5th. Top of the roof is gone. 50-foot high tree has fallen near the house, car damaged by falling debris, and that's just us. This is an emergency situation, and where are our TDs in government on another 2-week hiatus? Someone else says they want us to drive electric cars and use air to water heat systems, no open fires. All this week I've driven my diesel car to help people cook on gas and heated the house with the fireplace. That's a texter in County Clare. John, does that ring home for you?
What I would say about the electric cars comment is that that's a fallacy. I drive an electric car myself, and I have access to the public network. But ESB could do with maybe introducing something short-term for people in affected areas who have electric cars as well, because their rates are quite high at the public point. But I just feel that we need a proper approach to this going forward. We need a publicised and announced plan. And if there's going to be a significant cost burden that will arise from this, are the ECB going to look to foist it upon us again with increased rates?
Yeah, no, I think, John, I think everyone has agreed that there needs to be a long-term plan as well as a fix this week and next week for businesses and homes around the country. Thank you very much for joining us and thank you to all of our callers. And we wish you well in some tricky circumstances there.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
So, you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.